Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
That's right. Let's get it going in the loop. Sports Radio 610. You heard the man.
Yeah.
Figgy Fig. John Lopez, myself, Reginald Atula, hanging out with you. And now we're just going to shift course. We're just going to do 4 hours of Adrian Wojnarowski talking. Just playing. It's a fantastic day for the Texans, and an important one, right?
Yeah.
One that it might not seem as important if you do not look at it a little bit closer, but practice day after having a day off yesterday, and I think that there's going to be some important things to be seen, both here in Houston, and then obviously up in the Great Lake area.
The 10,000 lakes area.
10,000 lakes area. I mean, those lakes are great,
right, too.
So let me
hijack this real quick.
Please do.
Figgy, I got to hijack the first couple of minutes of this segment. Because I've stumbled across over the last, 4 weeks now with Reggie, something that I love about him and something that bothers. I'm not going to say hate. That bothers me about Reggie.
I mean, you can say you can hate it. Cool. Get under her mouth, feeling.
Figgy, have you picked up on this? Like, he is so hell-bent on getting everything just right. like getting everything just perfectly right. We are in a business of, oh, my bad. That's our business.
Live to see another day.
Oh, my bad. Let me correct that. Yeah. And trust me, look who you're talking to here.
Hey, Reggie must throw his coffee at the radio. Me and Seth.
Yeah. One day he was right. One day after the show, he was upset because he didn't give the text line out.
Yes, that's right. He didn't give the text
or the call line out.
And we've got a show for you guys today. We got it set up, but we're prepping in the other studio. We're getting ready. And he's like, I don't know. Should we do this? Should we do that? I'm like, dude, it's awesome. We're going to kick ass. So it's a great attribute to have, but it's also like, don't kill yourself, dude.
No, I like that about Reggie, man. He wants the show to be perfect, man. That's a lot.
Perfect.
I'm trying at least. Let us know. Let us know if the show is perfect or anywhere near by texting in to the program 713-572-4610.
And I don't say this about men very often, but it's kind of cute. Like he wants.
I don't know how to feel about that.
It's kind of cute.
All right, like that feels a little disrespectful.
He wants it to just be like, oh, that word I should have said different.
Yeah,
oh, man, you said another word.
No, we do it for the people. We do it for the people, and I want to do a great job.
Anywho,
for the people.
I just I think that's cool.
And maybe there might just be, if we're being completely honest, right? There might just be a little bit of self-servingness in that. Like I personally want to be right for myself.
Yeah,
I don't know if there's anything that I like more than being right, and so that also filters into other different places. One other thing. That's right. One of the things that I would love to be right is the injury report for your Texans.
Yes.
Practice report, right? I think that's one of the big things on the day that's going to be real illustrative for us on what this week looks like as the Texans careen towards probably, not probably, easily their biggest test of the year in this early season.
Yeah, no, and it's a big day for our listeners to hang in there with us all 4 hours. It's going to be a perfect show, and we got Joe Mixon news coming down the pike. As soon as they get out on the field, we'll get that to you. We have Justin Jefferson news in Minneapolis that's going to be very much important in a number of ways, because this secondary, specifically the cornerbacks, getting a lot of love, man, getting a lot of love, and they will never have they have yet to face a receiving group like they're going to face on Sunday. I think that's safe to say.
Or at least, I mean, the top end receiver, right? Yeah. When you talk about Justin Jefferson in this early week, like it's a different level that you're going up against. That's the creme de la creme. There's a lot of folks that would, when asked who is the best wide receiver in the league, would jump immediately to the man, to Justin Jefferson, right? And he was banged up while blocking this past week and ultimately, you know, suffered apparent leg injury.
Mm-hmm.
And so he, at least to this point, has been listed as day-to-day. But what does that actually look like?
Yeah.
Let's find out, right? Because you had a game. You're coming off a game where you had Stingley showing you the capability of being, you know, a matchup corner, to the point where now you're asking yourself in some ways, can he be lockdown corner? Can he be lockdown corner to the point where we're talking about what is the nickname, right? In the vein of you know, like Champ Bailey and Revis Island and those types of things.
Yeah.
And these are the types of competitions that you are you know, gearing yourself up for, right? Mm-hmm. Is the likes of Justin Jefferson, is that going to be a dude that is at his full complement, or is that going to be a dude who is lesser than? And how does that shift what's happening here?
And how do the Texans play it? You know, what version of D'Amico Ryan's philosophy are we going to get? Are we going to get Derek Stingley, you know, as they say, traveling with Justin Jefferson? Or are we going to get something opposite of that? Also, they have a couple of other good. Jordan Addison didn't play last week, and they beat the Niners, and they like him a lot.
Yeah.
They got a good game out of a Jalen Naylor. So they've got some receivers, and how the Texans play that is going to be one of the primary things we're going to be watching.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely the case. I don't know why the frog keeps I'll be fine before the show. You didn't hear me clear my throat
once.
And then once the microphones go on,
we got DJ Kool in the building.
Yeah, let me clear my throat. But with that being the case, right? Like, yeah, this team in the Vikings handled their own pretty well against the Niners. And interestingly enough, like, this Niners team is a little bit of a facsimile for this Texans team, right? Like, we know the connections that exist between these two teams and the way that they play. In fact, Jimmy Ward was talking about that yesterday on Texans All Access. And so, especially with the ways and the emphasis that the Texans have had on big plays and stopping those, if you find out that not only is Justin Jefferson better and ready to go, Jordan Addison now showing up, right? Like, what kind of pressures does that put on this defense? Like, that begins with knowing where their status is, what they look like for the potential of game day.
Yeah, no, look, if we're just being honest here, it's the biggest test yet for the Texans, and specifically what we're talking about here with the defense. The Vikings just give up 88 yards a game rushing, okay? That's right behind the Texans. I think the Texans are seventh in the league, Vikings are eighth. But the Vikings have faced and have done that, and they just beat a team that runs the ball exactly like the Texans.
Yeah.
Like, exactly like that's the same scheme, same coaching, same system, literally, came from.
Oh, such a clutch offseason pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
That system.
And can I speak to that a little bit?
Yeah.
Or can I allow Jimmy Ward to speak to that a little bit? Because I was fascinated. And shout out to our guy, Andy Kalous. And shout out to Mark Vandermeer when it came to Texans All Access, sitting down with the safety, Jimmy Ward, yesterday. Jimmy was talking about the similarities between the Super Bowl teams that he played on and this Texans team thus far.
Well, so far, we're 2-0.
Nice.
So we started 2-0 in 2019. Other than that, the defense, same offense, really. It's the same scheme, just a few different faces.
What about what goes into that, though, Jimmy, chemistry-wise?
Oh, yeah, you definitely got to be close. And I feel like Houston is a city that is just plenty of stuff to do. So I see some guys on Thursdays or Fridays, they link up with other guys, and they take their girlfriends out and wives, and they have movie dates together. So that's cool to see. And some guys go to concerts together, get a suite, invite the younger guys to come to the concert. So, or some guys have like the whole position meeting dinners. So it's, you know, it's building. And on top of that, depth, a lot of depth, you know, because, you know, in this lead, a lot of guys go down week to week. And it's very important that the next guy up knows what he's doing and it's not a drop off.
So with that being the case, right? Like, now you're bringing those types of elements from a Super Bowl type team to this Texans team, and that's going to be necessary in what is going to be their stiffest test in the early portions of this season.
Yeah, and you know, some of the depth things that he talked about. I mean, you can parse that out and nitpick a little bit, but you know, they have gotten guys like To'o playing at a high level and some others as well. They have some shortcomings here and there, but in terms of like what they are and how they play. And the Niners' philosophy and being that kind of squad, we can all feel that. We can all sense that.
So with it being the big test that it is, what are the things that make it a big test, right? What are the things that we're looking at here, Lopez, in that instance? Because we could talk about, you know, till we're blue in the face, the idea of, oh, well, yeah, I mean, they're similar and all these things. You know, is Justin Jefferson going to play? Is that the big test that we're talking about?
Yeah, here? I think there's two. And I don't think it's going to change between now and kickoff on Sunday that I think are going to determine the game, number one. And I will be watching very, very closely, as will everyone. Are the Texans going to be able to run the ball?
Yeah.
It's been what did I call it, first date, second date running, you know, behind this offensive line? Are they going to be able to run the ball? But it's not just on the offensive line. Is Joe Mixon going to be available? And if not, or even if he is, you know, who else is out there and how are they going to handle with Cam Akers or Damian Pierce? We got a little bit of good news on Damian Pierce yesterday.
Right.
I guess they said it's, what's the term they use? I guess progressing or is not going to be as bad of an injury as they thought.
Yeah, Aaron Wilson had talked about the fact that obviously Joe Mixon's ankle injury was not considered long-term or serious per league sources for him. And then also mentioned the idea that Damian Pierce is, quote, making fast progress from minor strained hamstring bursitis. So the idea, hey, man, is Mixon going to be, like, when they say it's not long-term or serious, is that enough to keep him out of this game or limit him in this game? And then what is Damian Pierce ready to go? Because, again, like, worst-case scenario, both of those guys not in a great place.
Mm-hmm.
Are you great? Do you how great do you feel about Cam Akers handling a lion's share of this alongside Dare and British Brooks? And I know that we have some listeners that are, that love them, some British Brooks. But then what does this offense, what does this running game in particular look like? Because we could talk about week one, but even week one, Joe Mixon had 101 yards after contact. There was a lot of that that was Joe Mixon himself. What does that then happen look like with Cam Akers, with British Brooks, and then even if Damian Pierce is you know, recovered well from the minor hamstring injury, what does that also look like?
Yeah, look, a lot of people toss around this term everywhere you look on the internet. Keys to the game, keys to the game. And a lot of times those are just fodder, you know, it's nonsense and it doesn't turn out to be true. I'm here to tell you these two things. Will the Texans be able to run the ball? That is an absolute, I'll use the word key to whether the Texans are successful. And the other ones, just how good can Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter be? To me, that's it. I like their receivers a lot. They have the best receiver in the game. They have a quarterback that's playing at a very high level for you know, for his game anyway.
And an offense that understands that they need to get those guys the football.
Exactly. So, like, running the ball, and if these two cornerbacks can more than hold their own against a really good receiving core that's getting healthier, that's it. That's what's going to help the Texans win if they win.
So, yeah, I mean, you start looking towards that with a good week of practice, I imagine. And then also just like practice reports themselves will give us a good insight into how they will, or what tools they'll have at their disposal to go about taking on a Minnesota Vikings team that alongside this Texas team is pretty highly regarded right now.
Yeah.
Because I mentioned this. I said this kind of in passing yesterday, but I don't know that there's an elite team in the league right now. You're starting to try and suss some of that out in the early portions of the season. And the Texans have an opportunity to put themselves in that class. This is the first game that I think will allow people to, I guess, go further in making that case, because it seems like people are already putting them in that space. I know that Colin Cowherd has put them top three. There's a lot of places, in fact, that have put them top three, at least top five. I know that I saw the NFL Network in their power rankings had the Texans at three, right? Like, they're putting them amongst the best in this league. Can the Texans play like an elite team in this league?
Yes.
And I think that starts with making sure that, seeing if you have some things available to you and who's going to be available.
I'll put it this way. If we do get the same type of game out of Stingley and Lassiter, obviously the pressure, you know, was a big factor in that. But the same types of production, playmaking from Stingley and Lassiter, I'll put it this way. Despite the great quarterbacks that are coming down the road, you know, that the Texans are going to face, I don't think that I'd be real scared of like being overwhelmed by any of them if those two cornerbacks can play at that level and show us again. Nick Caserio was talking about this just yesterday.
We have two players that we drafted this year who we feel could play the ball, and you've seen that show up during the course of the spring. You've seen it show up in training camp, and it's showing up really in the first two games. Kalen, going back to Kalen's play in week one, Kamari really made two plays on the ball. We had one taken away with the penalty, but the ability to judge and track and play the ball, it's not an easy skill, because a lot of times you're in phase with a receiver, you're running with the player, your eyes are on the receiver, and there's a lot of things that you're trying to figure out in order to find the ball. You're looking at the receiver's eyes, then you have to turn your head to find the ball. Where is the ball? Are you in position? When you're in man coverage, in zone coverage, it's a little bit easier to see the quarterback and break and play on the ball. So depends on the type of coverage that you have on the particular play, but just your hands, your ability to track and find the football, it's certainly something that goes into the evaluation, and we grade the player, whether it's good, whether it's average, whether it's below or average, and then whether or not that player can actually improve that skill, that's something that just takes a little bit of work.
I mean, if they are it, as people like to say, I'm going to feel good all year long about how they can perform against anybody.
Yeah, and I mean, this game will be another kind of litmus test in some ways, especially for the likes of Kamari, who, if you see that travel again, him traveling again and handling a higher level of difficulty, although he got some Roma Dunze in there, right? I don't want to make it seem like he has not faced anything. But, yeah, man, I'm super excited for this. And week's just starting in that regard as we gear up for week three in Minnesota versus the Vikings for your Texans. Take it to the text line. Again, the number 713-572-4610, where someone said from 281, look, guys, I know you're the flagship radio station of the Texans. Yes, don't forget it. We're only talking about going into the third game of the season. Do you think we can maybe talk about a little bit about the Astros and what a messed up game that was last night? Buddy, I'm still feeling the tiredness from from keeping up with that game last night. We will talk about that. Don't forget, we got our guy, our Astros insider, in fact, Adam Spillane. Join us at 10:40. We'll definitely dive into that game because what a mess.
We talk Astros just about every day.
Being the flagship of the Houston Texans don't mean a damn thing. I'm sorry. I think that's like a myth going around, like we are forced to talk about the Houston we be talking about some Astros, man. Yeah, we're going to talk about this.
I needed a second to group myself. We'll talk about it with Spo because what a wild game that was. Just like the way that it was administered, right? The way that it was handled was a mess. And so, yeah, we'll get around to talking about that. Like I said, I need a little time to collect myself. And while I do that, I want to remind you, it's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's do our question of the day here. With the course of this, we found out that Boban Marjanovic probably done here in the NBA. Mm-hmm. And inspired by him, who is a player that maybe wasn't great, but is a legend nonetheless? 713-572-4610. Let's talk about that next.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, yes. Yeah, Wednesday right here in the loop, Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez. You got Figgy Fig. You got me, Reggie Atitula, hanging out with you. Hope you're having a wonderful and blessed day. Hope you're also hanging out with us wherever you're going all day Wednesday, as John mentioned earlier in the show. It's important to get the updates that we are going to get today, whether it's about the health and availability of Joe Mixon and Dameon Pierce, maybe even on the other side of the coin here, what Justin Jefferson looks like after his leg injury on Sunday. So all those things happening. But also later today, we got our weekly Wednesday giveaway of a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. So you want to make sure that you hang out here for that and just the general fun, right? Like there's also that, right?
General fun. And if, by the way, if you win that gift card, you're automatically registered to win a grand prize of a new grill.
Potentially win that.
Yeah, I said you're registered. So we will see. We will see about that.
Yep. What we will also see about is who y'all think was a player that was a legend, even though they weren't necessarily great, as that is our question of the day. Who were those players for you that were not necessarily great, but still legends in the game?
Like Boban.
Like Boban. Boban Marjanovic, dear Rocket legend at this point. I think we're done seeing him in the National Basketball Association.
Yeah. Now, are we talking about in general or just on our team?
No. In general? Nationally? Okay. Internationally? Locally,
okay.
Whatever. I do want to play this though from Boban. I think this was his last game with the Rockets. It was one of his last games with the Rockets. So they had an incentive like they do with the Clippers. If they hold them under whatever points or whatever it might have been.
I believe it's if the opponent misses two free throws.
That's what it was. Okay,
then everybody gets some chicken.
Gets some chicken
sandwich, chicken, some sort. But I know it's chicken.
So the game was over. Boban goes to the line and takes
because care Boban's in. Because he's in. The game's over.
Yes, and he takes care of the people.
Eventually, be some free chicken on the board if he misses the second free throw.
Oh man, free chicken on the board.
Yeah, so that's why the fans are getting a little frothy.
Oh, they're pointing to anything. Boban's playing with the crowd. Say, you want chicken? Here's your job. Oh, he gave him chicken. People, he's a
That sounded like a WWE match.
Exactly.
That was the most excited that dude was.
By God, he's giving him chicken.
Chicken. Chicken.
And he was holding his hand up. I got you. I got you. So that's Boban. He's a legend.
Yeah, man.
He wasn't good. He wasn't bad. I mean, but he wasn't, you know, he wasn't a legend. In
I remember the night that the world stopped in 2020. He decided to be a little bit of a legend on the court that one time. But other than that, yeah, no. Just a legend for being a gentle giant.
Yes. Just a good guy.
Right?
Great
good guy. And State. I think he was in State Farm commercials.
Oh, yeah.
State Farm commercials.
Wasn't he in John Wick? He was a bad
guy. He was in John Wick. Yeah.
And they got him out of there quick. But yeah, man, like, I think what made me think, What I started thinking about after this in trying to find answers to this was like, what then also makes those legends, those kind of, in oftentimes local legends, but I think it's really interesting when you get like the national legends. And one of those is just what feels like a size disparity for personality or what have you.
Yeah.
Because if there is one thing that we as Americans love, is a portly athlete, right?
Oh, that's a good one.
We love the portly athlete. So some of the ones that I thought about that maybe not great, but legends, Jared Lorenzen, right? Like the dudes that were like, oh, you should not be able to do that the way that you do it. That's so like, rest in peace, Jared Lorenzen. And then one of my favorites, Bartolo Colon. Although when he was younger,
he was good.
He was really good.
He was really good.
But then he became almost a different kind of legend later in his career when he had what I feel like I could only describe as one of the beer belliest of beer bellies.
Yeah.
And then he was out here pitching and swinging the bat a little bit with that helmet spinning around on the top of his head. Yeah, yeah, that's always what I think about.
I thought of local ones, but this is not necessarily a local topic. It's anybody nationally. Another thing that kind of ties in with portly athletes is athletes that are a little bit off-center.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit strange.
That is correct.
But lovable. Not strange as an a-hole, but strange as but lovable.
Oh, but also it's kind of strange as a-hole.
Some a-holes.
With all due respect, because I don't want to get on the wrong side of this man. Because I also thought about Mad Max.
Mad Max is strange and sometimes lovable, sometimes not.
Exactly. That is one of those legends for sure. And I guess I probably don't want to necessarily put it to his ears that I say that he's not necessarily great.
Yeah.
But no, definitely a legend.
713-572-4610. Let me kind of get this thing started. I'm curious on yours, Figgy, as well. So locally, Jose Lima, 100%. Okay. Casa Ole commercials.
Fresh food,
hey. The great line that everybody uses now that he authored, you hang it, they bang it.
I hadn't even thought about dudes that were legends just because of the things that they said.
John Weeks, legend.
Of course.
Absolutely. Yeah. Gerald Green.
Yep.
And Vontae Leach, the old Texans fullback. And,
yep.
And by the way, the position you play can make you a legend too. Like we were talking off air, Daryl Moose Johnston.
Yeah. He brought that up, not me. I'm not putting a dollar in front of
him.
That's not my responsibility.
He wasn't great. I mean, he had his moments, but he wasn't great. But dude's a legend.
On the TV and everything.
Yeah, yeah.
Some other folks getting involved, Fig. I'm interested in where you go here. Someone mentioned Bill Laimbeer, and yes. Like just the big aggressive dude, also like the jerk as you mentioned, right? A legend in some way. But Bill Laimbeer was tough though. I don't want to forget that
really
he was really good.
Yeah, the ones that come to my mind, like this one, I feel like everybody liked this guy for whatever reason. But Brian Scalabrine.
Oh yeah,
because he's just a redhead. But every time he get in the game, he just get a loud ovation. It's like, man, this dude is sorry, man. But he was just he's just like a legend wherever he goes. One I'm thinking about personally is Earl Boykins.
Oh
yeah,
because he was 5'5".
That's again the size thing.
Yeah,
he was just balling and just like a local legend too.
One of the things I love about Scal, as you mentioned him, though, is he said something that is very, very true, which is that he is closer to LeBron James than he is to us, which a great reminder that all those dudes that make it to the league, right? Like we might be like, oh, this guy's a bum relative. We are picking nits when we're talking about the general population.
Yeah.
Right. That guy is a baller. Right. Some other ones came up for you at all?
And Seth Payne, somebody said on the text line.
Okay.
That's fair.
Fair enough.
That's British Brooks. It's a little early, but okay.
Is he a legend already?
Is he a legend already? I don't know about that. But on the text board as well, his nickname was the Victory Cigar, which automatically gives you a head start to legendary status. Chuck Nevitt had a couple.
Oh, a nickname. A good nickname always does help as well.
Yeah. Because he only played with those great Pistons teams when the game was out of hand. So they called him the Victory Cigar.
In Cleveland, Dante Jones was that guy. Yeah. Whenever he come in the game, like, uh-oh, Dante Jones in the game, that means it's over.
Yeah.
the white flag is thrown. Somebody on the text line says Zach Greinke.
But he was great.
But I feel like his last year here, though.
Yes.
I felt like he was just like a legend no matter what.
I'm having more fun thinking of the categories because another one that I kind of thought of, because someone mentioned Matt Maloney. I'm like, I don't know if that fits. But that made me think of a couple of players, which was it Steve Novak and then Bob Sura? And Bob Sura came up a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And I want to make it clear. I'm not trying to be that guy. However,
white shooters, I'll say it.
Yep. Right, like another one of the demographic that is the outlier in some ways in that space. Oh wow, yeah, no, that's we love you.
I'll
right?
say it. I mean, shooter, John Daly, which is an interesting one. Eclectic
weirdo.
At least 2-time major winner, but over the last 15, 20 years, just a legend because of what he is. Smokes. Mm. Eats French fries on the golf course, kind of portly, has the Hooters autograph tent at the Masters every year.
Just wild, wild pants as well.
Yep.
All right, so this one, I'm dating myself a little bit, or not, I'm showing my youth, I guess, in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really throw Ricky Waters in here as not necessarily great, can I?
No, he was really good.
Yeah, Ricky Waters was really good. But when you talk about like dudes who have said something that's really fun that sticks with you, Ricky Waters is for who, for what, mm-hmm. is one that I like quoting a lot. And so he ends up being a legend for me there. Patrick Beverley comes up a few times.
Man,
and
it's
again,
hot and cold with Patrick.
Yeah. It depends on which team. Is he on your team or the other team in this moment? Because I think that dictates the way.
What about Dante Robinson with the Pay Me Rick?
Yes, absolutely. No, that people loved that. People loved when he did that and he owned it. And so that made it even better. That's another part of the category thing. If someone knows who they are and they own it, you know, they're just.
Yeah. Or even just having a moment.
Yeah.
Like some type of moment outside of the actual basketball court or field.
Oh, like
or
Matt Barnes?
Like
Where he hopped in the car.
Some people might say some people might call him a legend for that. Driving 3 hours to beat up, who was it, Derek Fisher?
Yes, it was Derek Fisher for messing with his ex-lady, which is not your lady no more, but still.
From the 936, appreciate you texting this because we hadn't thought of it or said it, Jameis Winston.
Yeah, I was thinking that too. Yeah, he is
a legend.
He was a first overall bust, but nah, he's a legend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's fun, right? Just one salute to Boban Marjanovic as he continues in his life outside of NBA basketball. But yeah, it is fun to. We started delving into just kind of name a player, which is always a fun thing to do. But it's fun to kind of look at some of the guys and appreciate the guys that maybe weren't great necessarily on the field of play, but ended up being well regarded, respected, and loved as legends in other ways.
Is Lovie Smith a Houston legend?
Oh, that's a good question.
I think we're making
that
it.
That might be a little.
It might be a stretch.
Might be a little ambitious. Yeah, might be a little ambitious.
Oh, we did met that. This is another category that I completely forgot, which is Legends at the Bank. Shout out to the 713 mentioning Bobby Bonilla.
Bobby Bo.
Oh yeah.
Every July 29th or something like that.
What is
gets a million
July
Bobby 20, Bo Day?
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah,
Bobby Bonilla Day. Gets a million plus every year until
he's not even the one that has like that's getting the most money on these deferred payments. But the fact that it happens so consistently forever is very fun about that. So, yeah, man, shout out to all the folks out there. Ricky Bobby came in. All right. We're going fictional characters now. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us here in the Loop
July
Sports
1st.
Radio 610. There we go. July 1st.
Yeah. Get a million plus every July 1st for the rest of your life.
Damn. I'll take that deal.
Yeah,
I personally would take that deal. We're not doing Notorious there, 832. A man who's definitely not Notorious is our guy, Adam Spillane. He's our Astros insider. He joins us next to break down the game that was last night in San Diego because that was a doozy. Let's make head and tails of it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Who they want, who they want, who they want. Who they want? Baseball Spo.
I don't know if I'm happy or sad now, because was that Adina Howard that we had coming back?
Oh, that was Tupac.
Oh, it was Tupac. Okay, cool. But when we get Baseball Spo, it makes me happy, especially because we have our Astros insider, Adam Spillane, and I'm hoping that he can help me figure out what the hell I watched yesterday. Yeah. It's In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. And Spo, when was the last time you saw a player upset about getting a free base?
I remember this was like in the 90s. It happened to Albert Bell. He got hit by it. Like, he actually got hit. Yeah.
He wanted to keep playing.
Refused to go down to first base.
Yeah.
So I remember that one. But hey, you want to compete and you want to go try and win the game yourself. So I get where he's coming from. And he certainly didn't get hit. So,
all right.
There's that.
What about some bare feet on the diamond? When was the last time you saw that?
That one, I don't think I've seen that one.
And what was a wild over or extra innings 4-3 victory for your Astros in the later slate of things out in San Diego? Just a mess of a game. What grabbed you most about this game? Was it just the awful umpiring? Was it Hunter Brown's very good return to form? Like what kind of was your attention grabber?
Honestly, I thought it was a really fun game. I thought that game was
absolute fun. Yeah.
I mean, you have two really good teams towards the end of the season. They're both going to be in the playoffs. They are both, both teams are trying to play well heading into the playoffs. So I just thought it was a really fun game. I guess the umpiring does stand out, and that's not a great crew. The Astros have just had that crew in Cincinnati a couple weeks ago, and that was a spot of ejection on the Alex Bregman hit by pitch that was called a foul ball that they couldn't really overturn. It was a bad job yesterday by Brennan Miller, the home plate umpire, who's a really young umpire. This is just his second season as a full-time umpire. But, I mean, there are certain things that in that job you should just be able to do. And, you know, the foul ball with Altuve, there are two egregious ones. There's not knowing the rule on the whole disengagement thing. And having when you have to call to New York to figure out a rule, that's an issue. Especially, yeah. And that's not just on Brennan Miller. You got three other guys, and those three other guys are a whole lot more experienced than Brennan Miller. Like, you've got to know that rule. And then for Brennan Miller on the foul ball with Altuve, ask for help.
Yeah, the unwillingness to do that was crazy.
Even if you don't change the call, just ask for help so that it looks like you guys talked about it and, you know, you got the opinion of the two guys that were down the line. Like, I just don't understand the reasoning for not wanting. Maybe it's you have a young umpire who doesn't want to look like weak in that situation.
Yeah, projecting strength is what I thought.
But you make yourself look really bad, and, you know, that's just. It doesn't take away from it being a fun game, but it obviously was a little messy.
What about both teams not wanting that to be a hit by pitch?
In a sense, I was surprised that San Diego wouldn't, because you load the bases for Manny Machado.
Right.
Like, yeah. As good as Jerickson Profar has been this season, Manny Machado hit a home run earlier in the game, and you have no place to put him in that spot.
Yeah.
So I was somewhat surprised that San Diego was so like against it, but obviously the Astros didn't want it because they wanted to give Hector Neris a little bit of breathing room.
Yeah.
But hey, the call was the call. Give Neris credit for making pitches when he had to, and that has been one of the things that has kind of gotten lost. Like the Astros' ability to improve the roster after the trade deadline has been really key for them. You get two guys that didn't really three guys that didn't cost them anything with Neris, with Ben Gamel, who now is hurt.
Yeah,
and now with Jason Hayward.
Yeah, I thought he had a bruise.
Yeah, what do we make of the concussion to bruise pipeline that the Astros have seemed to form here?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm not there, so I have not. You know, I didn't hear any of the explanations that Espada gave in Anaheim or in San Diego on Monday, so I can't really speak to it. But yeah, that's really all. I can
it happened.
Say.
It happened quicker, at least that pipeline. We figured that out a lot earlier.
They didn't wait 3 months this time. You know, who knows? Maybe
they're more experienced in the concussion to or sorry, contusion
yeah.
to bruise.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I don't know what an X-ray shows compared to an MRI.
Sure.
So it's kind of the thing that you had with McCormick last week, where the X-rays with McCormick didn't show the fracture until they actually went in and got the MRI, and you get a little clearer picture with that. So I don't know. It's just hey. The problem is they do themselves no favors by the way that they handle some of these things. That's why you can start. That's why people can make fun of them for this stuff.
Because well, we were talking about it yesterday. Like, yeah, it's got to be a bruise, right? Got to be a bruise. Yeah. No, it's not. It's
in fact, someone said that it might have been B. Scott and Figgy that jinxed them. I don't know.
Could have been. You know, the interesting thing about this game, too, is it ended up being a good thing that Jose Altuve was thrown out. He doesn't make that play.
Probably not.
No, he doesn't.
Probably not.
Yeah.
He has a way of making, like, the great play and just kind of screws up the routine one. But, yeah, no, you're right. Like, that's the one thing that that we have thought about a few times. Like, when he came out of the game, when he had the kind of the side injury against the A's, like, that's the one thing. Like, well, hey, the right side of their, you know, the up the middle, they might be a little bit better now defensively if he misses some time. But yeah, give Greg Kessinger a lot of credit, man. I mean, that's not to come in cold like that.
Yeah.
And John, I've criticized Kessinger's kind of existence on the 26-man roster for a good portion of the year.
Yeah.
Because they haven't used him. Like, he's been, he hadn't been on, he was basically on the roster the entire first half of the season and basically made one start during that stretch. And this is now twice, going back to the playoffs last year, where he came in cold off the bench and made a game-saving play. And so, like, that stuff matters, and that stuff will keep you on a roster. And you know, you have to start, you know, Greg Kessinger's probably going to be around now for a little while just because you know that you can trust him in that type of a spot.
Yeah, I was very fascinated with that. He also, I kind of love just the way that he, and maybe it's just the nature of, you know, being able to make that play. There was a lot of a glow with him after the game, just kind of joking about the situation where he saw that as soon as Altuve took the sock off, he was like, I picked up my glove.
Yeah.
So that was a fun thing.
When you take your sock off, you're going to get thrown out.
You're showing up the umpire at that point, even though he was trying to prove a point that was very valid.
He knew exactly what was going on, and Kessinger was absolutely right. You start taking your shoe off, and then he, like, exaggerated his limp. I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah, I was wondering if anybody was going to ask, because I saw Altuve's availability after the game. I wonder if anybody's going to ask him if his toe was okay. Or if, like, you're going to look at, you get a lineup here in, what, a couple hours, and all of a sudden Altuve's not in there because of the toe's bothering him. So, yeah, it was it's a weird game. It's a fun game, and it kind of gets you ready for what we're going to see here in the next couple weeks.
Yeah, I don't want to take for granted the Hunter Brown outing. Yeah. Like, this is a guy that we know has this kind of, like, capability, but last year you saw him fade in these kind of situations. Like, just how important is it that we're seeing him almost get better in some ways?
Well, I thought that he was probably one of their five most important players coming into the season just because of the prospect status that he had, and you look at, like, he's got 4 years of club control left after this. So, like, they need him to be good, especially when you look at how up in the air the rest of the rotation is, where Justin Verlander's a free agent after this year. Framber Valdez is a free agent after next year. You don't know what you're getting from Luis Garcia moving forward, and he's only under team control for a couple years. He hadn't pitched in a while. Who knows what's going to happen with Lance McCullers? You've got some young guys.
Oh, he's still on
the roster. That's right. Yeah, you've got some young guys.
Yeah, he is.
That was a genuine realization.
You say Kikuchi's a free agent after the season. So you don't know, like, where, you know, who you can rely on from a starting pitching standpoint now, you know, after the next couple of years. So the fact that he's under club control, he has shown himself to be a frontline starting pitcher this season.
Yeah.
To go through the last 24 games with a 2.55 ERA, fastball command has been really, really good.
I don't want to skip past that. What was that number again?
2.55. It was 9.78 after his first six starts, and it looked bad, and you were wondering if maybe they were going to have to send him down. And, you know, he added the sinker, which has been talked about a lot, and give credit to Chandler Rome for being the first one to really point that out. That's something that Alex Bregman had brought up to him, and that really changed his season. And he is now, it feels almost, it feels like you're going to get an automatic start, an automatic good start from him every time he takes the mound.
I'm glad we got here, because when I was watching Hunter Brown yesterday, I started thinking about conversations that you and I have had a month ago, 2 months ago. Like, is this pitching staff going to be able to withstand innings that they've never seen before in the course of a season? They are.
Yeah.
They are so far. I mean, but is that still something that's sort of in the back burner?
I'm sure they're thinking about it, but you're running out of starts at this point.
Yeah, but then you get to postseason.
Yeah.
But that was a playoff-style game.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But the good thing with where they're at is that, like, the guys that they're going to rely on when you get to the playoffs are not the guys who are, like, hitting their innings limits. Like, Hunter Brown has gone through a full Major League Baseball season now. So he knows how to deal with this. Framber Valdez is fine. You say Kikuchi, he'll be fine, you know, just having pitched as long as he has. So you're not really relying on the Arigettis and the Blancos. And Blanco pitched really well his last time out. And who knows what happens here with Verlander. He's got a couple starts now to prove himself. He took a couple good steps.
His next start is tomorrow?
It'll be Friday. And they haven't announced their rotation yet for Anaheim. But my guess would be Kikuchi tomorrow. Because then you have Kikuchi.
Good pitching matchup tonight.
Seattle.
Yeah.
Fromber and Dylan Cease.
Yeah, absolutely. Battle of aces.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing you get with San Diego, is that you're going to get good starting pitching matchups on those nights.
Astros magic number 7 with a 5-game lead over Seattle. I'm going to ask you to do the impossible here. Get on your crystal ball. When does that number hit 0?
I think probably sometime during that Seattle series. I would be... they should take care of business against Anaheim. The Mariners do have a Mariners still have two more games left with the Yankees. So it's not a matter of if it's not a matter of if, but it's just win at this point. And it wouldn't shock me if this thing is over before Seattle arrives on Monday. But it's, you know, it's still asking a lot to, you know, to close a seven, a magic number of seven in a 5 day span. So certainly possible. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see. I do think that it's important for them to get this locked up pretty quick. And it does. It looks like Cleveland will hold on to the two seed, which is fine. Get some rest in Cleveland for these guys. Mm-hmm. You know, you can kind of have a relaxed spring training type series in Cleveland, and then get ready for either Detroit or Minnesota or Kansas City in the wild card series.
Yeah, the Tigers coming on strong here at the end of this thing.
Fighting AJs, not giving up. They won an extras yesterday. I don't know how they're doing it. It's not a very good team, but yeah, that would be fun if you get an AJ Hinch versus the Astros. 4.5 years after they fired him.
Yeah.
Baseball Spo, Adam Spillane, our insider for the Astros, joining us here in the loop. We appreciate you, my man. Would you like to take off your shoe before you exit?
No, because, you know, it's a little sweaty, the sock. And, okay. You know,
Spo was out too, Baze.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but he was in the open air. We're in a closed studio.
I just like the way Adam Spillane always dances to his intro song. When you know he
I can't dance.
No, you won't dance. That's a mentality issue.
John, there's cameras. Don't lie to them.
He's doing the whole...
I can't hear the music. I don't have the
Theater of the mind. We appreciate you, my man. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile and you can get tons of benefits and still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. All right, coming up next in the loop, let's go around the NFL where what is this? Bill Belichick being a meteorologist? What is happening there? We'll get you the details next.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about this?
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.